Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Praise you, the Lord. Yes, you are now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr., and we do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from Hopper Woods, Michigan. I'm asking all the listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with my special guest on tonight, none other than Pastor Frederick Chapman. He will be bringing forth God's word. He is the pastor of the Bible, New Beginning Bible Church. He is the pastor there. So we are asking all listeners right now, please get your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along as he get ready to deliver another word from the Lord. We always go to God in prayer before we go any further. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would touch and agree with me in prayer, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because we know that you're truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. And you are in total control at all times. So for this, we're grateful in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Pastor Frederick Chapman and his entire family, and every saved believer that are being faithful doers of your word all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we're so grateful for your son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, that we can come through him and ask to be forgiven of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Now, Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus asking that you will move by your spirit, We looked at my oldest, Janice Nielsen, and her daughter, niece, Crystal Nielsen, and as they, her husband and my niece's father made his transition on last Tuesday. We thank you that he did not suffer long. He suffered a massive heart attack. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that he did not suffer. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you allowed me and some of my siblings to drive safely to Amherst, Massachusetts to be with them. And then you allowed us to ride back home safely on yesterday. So we give you the glory, honor, and praise for that as well. So we ask that you would comfort and strengthen my sister and my niece as they go through the hour of bereavement, not only for them, but all those that have lost loved ones all over the land. Comfort and strengthen them, Heavenly Father, as only you can. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, your presence, even as they grieve and go through the hour of bereavement. Let them remember and know that all of their help comes from you, and that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. We also lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver, and set free as only you can, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We are so grateful that you are in every place at all times, so we don't have to send you anywhere. We know that you're already there. So move by your spirit in every situation that you get the glory. We lift up all those that are incarcerated all over the land in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that this word that's going to come through your man of God, Pastor Frederick Chapman, on tonight, we pray, Lord, that this word will be a powerful word on tonight, that every listener will hear your word, and all those that are not saved in Jesus' name will not only hear your word, but they will receive it. They will open their own mouths to confess their sins and transgressions even on tonight. And that's what must they do to be saved in Jesus' name. They will ask Jesus, your son, to come into their hearts and save them is our prayer in Jesus' name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every angel that watches over us throughout the night while we slumber and sleep. And as we go out through the day and travel throughout the day, we thank you for every angel that you have encamped around us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in every believer. So now, Lord, we pray and ask that you would move by your spirit on tonight. Bless every listener that faithfully dials in to this worldwide ministry platform. We even ask that you would bless all those that are listening in through social media platforms around the world. Grant them all the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as usual, we do have another scriptural proof of thought. And it comes to us saying on tonight, many Christians grow up in church but never grow in Christ. They know hymns, H-Y-M-N-S. They know hymns, but they don't know him, talking about Jesus. They know gospel hymns, but they don't know Jesus. So once again, tonight's scriptural proof of thought, and I'm going to repeat it hopefully before we go off the air again on tonight. And it comes to us saying, once again, many Christians grow up in church but never grow in Christ. They know hymns, but they don't know him, Jesus. I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please note that I do not own the copyright to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. Before we go any further, I want to give a shout out to my pastor and shepherd, none other than Pastor Mark C. Holloway and my church family, the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, which is also located in Harper Woods, Michigan. Well, I have good news for you all on tonight. Before we bring on Pastor Chapman to bring forth another word on tonight, he has been my guest before. This is his second time on. And the Lord put in my spirit to ask him before we went on live tonight if he would be willing to come on once a month. And he agreed to be able to come on to deliver God's word on this platform once a month. So mark your calendar right now before we go any further. He will be coming back on January the 12th, which is the second Thursday in January 2023. And I'm so excited about what God is doing through this worldwide ministry and platform. It is marvelous in our eyes what God is doing through this worldwide ministry platform. Now it's being heard through prisons all over the United States as well as around the world. So we thank God for what he's doing through this worldwide ministry. It's not about us. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's about souls being saved, backsliders coming back to the fold, that the body of Christ is being built up, strengthened, and edified through God's word and through the testimonies that come forth over this worldwide ministry platform. For this, we give God the glory, honor, and praise. Right now, we're going to go to our music break song. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Pastor Frederick Chapman. Once again, he is the pastor of the New Beginnings Bible Church. So once we finish with the music break song, he's going to come back. I'm going to yield the mic to him. And following his message, I will be opening up the phone lines once again for all listeners. If you may have a question for him pertaining to tonight's message, or if you just want to give him words of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so after he concludes with tonight's message. Enjoy the music break.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
The word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. And guess what? That still stands true today. So right now we are getting ready to receive this awesome man of God, none other than Pastor Frederick Chapman. Once again, he is the pastor of the New Beginnings Bible Church. He is getting ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. And I pray and hope that every one of you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along with this awesome man of God. Pastor Chapman, I now yield the mic to you.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you so much. I want to, first of all, just thank God for this opportunity. Also, thank Brother James Brown for having me here on Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? It is indeed a privilege to come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I just want to thank God for all of you who are listening and tuning in, wherever you're tuning in from. We know that you could have been anywhere else tonight, but you decided to be here on this blog radio talk show. And so we want to thank you all for that. I want to give a shout out to my beautiful wife, Pastor Rocio Chapman. We pastor the New Beginnings Bible Church in Detroit, Michigan. Also giving a shout out to our church family who is listening on tonight as well. And so we give God all the thanks and the glory and the praise tonight. Being here on this radio broadcast is a privilege. I am humbled, and it is an honor to be here. And so we thank God for this opportunity and his grace to do what we do on tonight. And so let's pray, and then we're going to hop into the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, for this opportunity that you have given to us, Father God, to be able to share your Word. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would give us revelation and application of your Word. We pray, Father God, for inspiration, Father God, and we also pray for the manifestation of your Word to come to pass in our life, God. We thank you, Lord God, for your Word is true, God. The grass is withering and the flower is fading, God, but your Word will last forever. It stands forever, God. And so we just thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your Word, Father God. God, we thank you, God, for what your Word does for us, God, transforms us and helps us, Father God, encourages us and challenges us, Father God, and corrects us, Father God. And so we want to thank you tonight, God, for what you're about to do on this broadcast. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and thank God. If you have your Bibles out there, which you should have your Bible and a piece of paper so that you could take good notes tonight, I want to invite you to the gospel recorded by Matthew. That is the New Testament, okay? It is the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And so you should be at Matthew chapter number 7. And we're going to center our attention on verses 24 through to verse number 29. Very familiar passage and parable, and so we're going to use this as a point of emphasis, building on a solid foundation. Its subtitle, Are You Prepared for the Storm? Okay, so let's go ahead and read. It says, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its crash or its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe. I want you to remember that last verse there in verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Brothers and sisters, tonight, really we want to look at the practical purposes for this word. We want to look at the practical purposes for it in our lives. What was the reason in which Jesus told this parable? Why did he focus so much in on making sure that the people understand? And when you look at a parable, it is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or it is a practical word that actually gives us precision on how to activate that word in our lives. And so Jesus put something side by side in order to illustrate a greater revelation. Okay, when we read the Word of God, we want to get revelation from it. We just don't want to merely read it, okay? Because there's a difference between you reading the Word of God and you getting revelation from the Word of God. That word revelation means to uncover. It means to reveal. And we must understand that whenever we read the Word of God, it should be birthing some type of revelation in our lives. Number one, brothers and sisters, we have a parable which Jesus contrasts two types of people, okay? And I want you to understand that sometimes we think that we are, you know, neither, you know, wise or foolish, but we're somewhere in between. But Jesus separates it as if there is no other people in the world but somebody who is wise and someone who is foolish. Understand, brothers and sisters, when we understand wisdom, wisdom is not just having knowledge, but having the ability to put into practice what it is you know. There are some people who have a lot of knowledge, but it does not mean that they are wise. You are only wise when you can actually put into practice the words that you hear or the information or the knowledge you have. Only when knowledge is actually used that it is power. Knowledge is not power in and by itself, but knowledge becomes power when we can make it practical. And so when you look at this passage, Jesus understands that there are wise people in the earth and there is foolish people in the earth. He says here in verse number 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, hears these sayings of mine, I want you to underline that, hears these sayings of mine and does them. He used this transitional word and to say that there is something more after the word and, right? Understand here, he says, and does them. He says, I will liken him or I will describe him as a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Understand that it is not just good enough for us to be able to hear, because some people, one would say, at least I'm getting the word. At least I'm here. At least I came to church. At least I came to Bible study and I heard. But hearing is not good enough for Jesus. Hearing is not good enough for God. And we want to understand, brothers and sisters, that we have to transition ourselves from just being hearers of God's word and start to become, to be doers of the word. We have to become doers because the word of God has no power in our lives if we don't apply what he says. Understand here, he says that when you put it into practice, not only do you hear what he says, but you do what he says. Understand, brothers and sisters, that there's a difference between hearing and listening. Understand, I could tell you to do something, but if you don't respond to what I say, then you just heard me. You are not listening to me, right? Have you ever talked to somebody and then they're just saying, and you wonder whether or not they really are listening to what you said, and if you ask them, hey, did you hear me? They'll say, I hear you, then why didn't you respond to what it was that I said to you? And so when we look at the word of God, we must understand that everything Jesus talks about, number one, is practical, okay? I want you to write that word down, practical, right? It means that we can actually put action to what it is we know and what we hear. Understand, you ought to be a practical believer. You shouldn't just be a believer who says, oh, yeah, ooh, that was a good word, wasn't it? Oh, man, he preached the house down. But the question is that if we ask people who heard us when we preached the house down, if we ask them, what did you put into practice right after the fact, after I gave that good word, after the pastor preached, after the teacher teaches, what did you actually put into practice in your life? Because that's what makes a word powerful. Not because the word sounded good, not because it made you shout, not because it made you jump, not because it gave you goose pimples all over your body. No, but what makes the word powerful is when you can make it practical in your life. Understand that. Tonight, God wants us to be practical and not reactional, because there are some people who just react to the word with their physical motions, but they don't practice what it is they are learning. Understand, they used to say, you ought to practice what you preach, because there are a lot of people who know a lot of Bible and they can preach to you, but how many of them are putting practical steps? How many of them are putting legs to their faith? How many people are really going after God like they've never gone after God before when they graduated from just the auditory nerve? We just from the sound bouncing off of your eardrum, right in your brain interpreting it, but does it bring actions to the rest of your body? Understand, brothers and sisters, I cannot just look at the word of God and say, it's a good idea to love my neighbor. Oh, that's a good idea to give. It's a good idea to read my Bible. It's a good idea to pray. But if I don't pray, I'll never see the power of prayer. If I don't ever give, it'll never been given back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If I don't learn how to love my neighbor as myself, or love my enemy when that enemy hates me, then I am not a child of the King, because Jesus tells us to love your enemies, you know, pray for them who persecute you and despitefully use you. See, being a believer is not just being a believer at church, but it is a lifestyle that we live of the practical things that Jesus gives to us. It is about being practical and not just reactional. Understand that after Jesus tells us about the wise, understand that he says a wise person, right, he is one who builds his house on something that is solid. He says, and who builds his house on a rock. Understand that Jesus says that this type of man, this type of woman, this type of human who hears his word is one who builds on things that are solid and not things that shift. Understand that. Understand that sand shifts. Right? But that which is built upon the stone, that is built upon the rock, that is solid, he describes that person as a person of wisdom. I want to point out something interesting that you probably didn't think about when you were reading this text at first glance. The text does not describe what the houses look like. This text does not describe how the houses look like, what the houses look like, but it actually describes how they were built. I'm going to say that again. The text does not describe what the houses look like. In other words, it didn't say whether it was a big house or a little house. It didn't say whether it was an immaculate house or whether it was a shack. It did not describe whether the house was brick or whether it was wood. It did not describe any of that. The only thing that it described the house being is built, or what it was built on a rock, or whether it was built on the sand. Understand that it doesn't matter how good you look. You can look real good and have an awful life. You can look real good on the outside and not really be what you need to be in life. You understand that we're looking at the sanctuaries that we're in. They're very beautiful. They're very immaculate. But I really want to know is how many disciples are really in that church? How many believers are really there? How many people who actually love God and remember that to love him is to obey his commands? Jesus said, if you love me, then you obey what I do. But we have a lot of people who say they love God, not because they obey God, but because God does things for them. Understand, brothers and sisters, that we have to graduate from just being a pew sitter, somebody who just sits there, who hears something, but they don't do anything else with it. We could be in these beautiful cathedrals, but they could be built upon the principles that are sandy. understand that sand shifts. You can shift sand, but when something is built upon a rock, you cannot shake that thing. Understand here the principles that he is trying to get us to implement. It is the principle of wisdom. He says that if you are wise, you'll be careful what you build your house on. And if you look at that house, our body is considered the housing for our souls. So in other words, what is your house built on? Okay? What is your spirit built on? What is your life built on? Is it built on something that is solid or shaky? Is it something that is solid or does it shift? Can it stand? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when we look at this, brothers and sisters, let's go on. He not only describes what a wise man looks like, but he also tells us about what that wise man goes through. Watch this. He says, and the rains descended, rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, okay, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. Now, understand that the weather, this wise man can't control the external things. He cannot control the weather. He cannot control the flood. He cannot control the wind. Okay, he has rain, he has floods, and he has winds blowing, and he can't control any of that. But what he can control is what his house is built on. Listen, brothers and sisters, you can't control what trouble comes into your life. You cannot control what happens to you, listen, in this life, but you can control how you build your life. Many times we're saying, I can't get ahead because of this person or that person. And the reason why I don't go to church is because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. And the reason why I don't give is because I don't make enough money. And the reason why I don't give is because the preachers are doing something with it or the church is doing something with it. And I don't know how it's working. And we make all of these excuses, but we don't look at ourselves in the mirror to say, what am I building my life on? You can't control what a preacher does. You can't control what the church itself does. You can't control other believers. You can't control the things that happen in your life. There are some things that are out of your control. That rain came down. I think he was doing good, when the rain came. Okay, now it's storming outside. Then it went from just having rain to everything flooding. Right? Many of us remember Hurricane Katrina and how awful it was for the city, in the state of New Orleans. Understand when they had gone through this storm that came upon them was so unexpected, some levees even broke and spilled over. Understand that when they went through that, they weren't expecting for it to flood like it did. Listen, not only floods, but wind. Right? It was bad enough that it rained. It was bad enough that it started flooding everywhere, coming into the house, right? Flooding the grass, things piling up. Understand here, the wind started blowing, right? And when the wind started blowing, understand that they could not control any of that. They can't control the weather. Listen, friends, you cannot control the weather of your life. Whatever storm you're going through, I know it hurts. I know it's painful. I know you can't stand it. But guess what? What is going to allow you to stand through anything is how you're built. How are you built in your prayer life? How's your prayer life built? Is it just talking to God, or does God talk back? When you talk to God, does God give you instruction and tell you what to do? Listen, if you want God to answer prayer, you have to do what he tells you in prayer. You have to believe that what you're asking God for, he's going to give you revelation. Listen, we were talking about revelation at the beginning. We want revelation from God. We don't just want to merely read, but we want to get revelation. We don't just merely want to pray, but we want to have answered prayer through the revelatory application of what it is that God tells us. Here, in this text, you see that when all of this happened to this wise man's house, his house stood firm, okay? When the storm strikes, you stand. let me say that again. When the storm strikes, you are able to stand, right? Are you prepared for what is coming? Understand, when I teach things like this, it's either you coming out of your storm, you're about to go into a storm. Understand, or you're going through a storm, or you're about to go into one. Understand that you cannot avoid the storms of life. You cannot avoid the flooding of life, and you cannot avoid the winds, right? But what you can do is understand, man, let my prayer life be built on a solid foundation. Let my life be built on solid foundation. Let me not just have a Sunday morning and a Wednesday evening or a Thursday evening or a Tuesday evening relationship with God, because I don't know what day it's going to rain. I don't know what day the flood is going to come in. I don't know when the wind is going to toss my life from one part of the wall to the other. No, no. All I know is God is preparing me. So not only does Jesus want to give us something practical, something that that we can use, he wants to prepare you. The question is, brothers and sisters, are you prepared? Listen. Many of you may remember a long time ago, Michael Jackson, when he was alive, Michael Jackson was wearing masks around the world, and everybody thought he was weird from wearing masks. They said, look at that, you know, wacko jacko, they called him, because he wore a mask everywhere, and, you know, people were looking at him crazy for wearing masks. Okay, look it up. You'll see Michael Jackson wearing masks, right? But we thought it was wacko jacko until COVID hit, and now we all wear masks, right? We all wear these masks, and we have to wear. We wore those masks, right? And so we're beginning to, you know, feel comfortable enough to take them off now. But everybody was wearing the masks, right? But how many of you could say we were really prepared for COVID? Were we really prepared to deal with this onslaught where people were dying? Were we really ready to deal with the grief that we were going to have to deal with, because some of our loved ones died from it? Some of our children, you know, some of our grandparents, some of our brothers and our sisters are in the grave right now because they were exposed to a disease that many of you who are listening survived. Right, I survived it. I'm still here. I thank God for it. But the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, none of us could say that we were prepared for COVID. Understand, brothers and sisters, what Jesus is trying to do is not only to help us to think practically, but he is trying to prepare us for the things that we're going to face in life. Listen, you think you're a strong Christian until somebody dies in your family. You think that you're a strong believer until foreclosure hits your house. You think you're a strong Christian until job loss and unemployment hits your life. You think that you're a great Christian until you got your heart broken in a relationship or in a divorce, right? Understand, you don't know how strong you are until something happens to you. Miles Monroe said the real test of faith is what you've actually survived. And there are many survivors on here tonight who could tell you and who could tell me, who, listen, God kept me. God kept me in his arms. God kept my life. He kept my family. He kept me even when I was down, when I was broke, and God provided for me. God did so many wonderful things in my life in spite of all the things that I went through. Listen, I want to tell you, you may have had to go through the storm tonight. You may have had to go through pain. You may have had to go through struggles that were out of your control. But guess what? God sustained you. God kept your life. He kept you in the bosom, in his bosom, and rocked you to sleep last night. Listen, because God is faithful. Doesn't mean the people who died and didn't make it weren't faithful. God just has our life on a time frame. And the fact is, what God doesn't want to happen, he doesn't want you to fall apart with every storm. He doesn't want you to fall apart when the floods come. He don't want you to fall apart when the winds blow. Understand that this wise man's house could not be shaken because his house was built on a rock. Understand here, Jesus gives us this principle in order to prepare us. Understand, he says, he uses the word but. Anytime you see the word but in a text, it means that there's a transition from what he is saying. Now, the transition that he makes here is it says, but everyone. And I want you to pay attention to that word everyone, because some of us think that certain things don't apply to us, right? That don't apply to me. Jesus says, but everyone. I want you to underline that word everyone, and then I want you to put your name right there, right? I'm going to put my name right there. But Fred, who hears these sayings of mine, right? If Fred hears these words of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on a sand. Watch this. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, I want you to understand this. Their houses could have looked identical. Their houses could look identical. Like I said, they don't describe what the houses look like. They only describe what the houses were built upon. Now, understand this, brothers and sisters. The difference is what was the house standing on? What was underneath the house? What was supporting the house? Okay? He says, if you want to be foolish, try building a nice-looking house on some sand. That sand, sooner or later, it's going to begin to sink. What does the storm do to your life? The storm reveals where you really are. The storm reveals and exposes you for what you really believe. Understand that, brothers and sisters. The storm only reveals what's already there. This house was already on its way to sinking the moment it was built on sand. Listen, some of us try to get in different relationships, and we're missing all the red flags that are around this person. We're ignoring the red flag. Sometimes we don't miss them. We just want to ignore them like we don't see them, right? But we see the red flags all around this person that tells us, I don't need to be with them. I don't need to hang out with them. I don't need to make them a part of my destiny. I don't need to make them a part of my life. But yet, when we in our feelings, oh, Lord, can I speak about that? When we are in our feelings, we don't care as long as they look good. They look good on the outside. They got some money, girl. Man, she got a body, man. She look good. But we not seeing the other side of that person. What happens when that person is sad? What happens when that person gets upset? What happens? How does this person react to job loss? What has this person been through? Listen, I'm not interested so much in the success of people, but how they became successful. Understand that you may look at a person and what they have, you may want what they have accomplished. You may desire to have that. Listen, there are some people who want your anointing, but they don't want your crushing. They want your position, but they don't want your pain. They want your anointing, but they don't want your agony. There are some people who want it to, you know, the people to respond to them like they responded to Jesus. But understand that there was a woman who says, allow each of my sons, James and John, to sit one on your right and one on the left. Understand, he asked them, can they drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Can you handle this pain? Because some people want your fame, but they don't want your failure. They want your crown, but they don't want your cross. Can you carry the cross of Christ? Can you do what he says even when you're going through? Can you still stand up? Can you stand in the rain? Can you stand while it's flooding? Can you still hold your peace when it's windy everywhere? he says here that this house that was built on the sand went through everything that the other house went through, but its fall was great. That means its fall was hard. It collapsed. Listen, when you don't put the word of God into practice, your life will collapse all around you.
Yes,
you are setting yourself up for failure, thinking that you could just go to church and hear and hear and hear, come on radio stations and hear and hear and hear, go on Facebook Lives and just hear and throw your hearts emojis up and throw your hearts and your likes up there. But you figure that that's the extent of my relationship with God. No, it's really a powerful word when you can say, oh, I'm about to put this into practice in my life. This is what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to write this down. I want you to write one thing you're going to work on, brothers and sisters, one thing you're going to work on in this season, in this coming year, a principle from Jesus' word that is going to be walked out in your life. See, if you don't plan, okay, because you got a plan, you got a plan for the future. Understand the practical things, right, are in the principles, right? Understand that it is a moment of preparation that God is trying to give to you. God is trying to prepare you for life, not just to be a reactionary person in life. God don't listen, if you got to cry, cry. But after you cry, listen, wipe those tears from your eyes. Get up and say, yeah. God, what will you have me to do? What do you want me to do, God? Understand that some of us think that our tears just move God. Yes, Jesus has compassion. Yes, God has compassion. But don't just think that everything is going to come to you just because you shed some tears. No, sometimes you're going to have to go to work with tears in your eyes and say, Lord, I know you'll make a way for me. Sometimes you're going to have to go into surgery nervous. Sometimes you're going to have to go into the courtroom and wonder what's going to happen, but God, I know you with me. Sometimes you're going to have to bury your child. Sometimes you're going to have to bury your father and your friends. Sometimes you're going to have to bury your mother. Sometimes you're going to have to bury your best friend. But listen, after you get finished crying, put your faith and your trust in the Lord.
Yes,
put your faith,
Lord,
in what his word says. Put your faith in what Jesus has done for you. Listen, you may be stuck in sin. Listen, the only reason you're stuck is because you want to be stuck. Because Jesus will bring you out and forgive you. Listen, I know some people got addictions. Yes, you got addictions. You've been doing what you've been doing. But the fact of the matter is Jesus can, listen, remove that addiction from you. You think that God wants you addicted? No, he doesn't want you addicted. You're addicted to crack. You're addicted to cocaine. You're addicted to some, barbaric brand, some form of liquor. If you are addicted, listen, some people are addicted to sex. They're addicted to pornography. They have so many addictions that they don't think that Jesus can release them. I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ still works. That's why
yes,
he
Lord.
Died on the cross for us. He died so he could give us a solid foundation. Understand here that after Jesus got finished teaching, we see in verse 28, and that's where we are. It says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, right? He brought it to a close. He says that the people were astonished at his teaching. Now, many people may wonder, why were people astonished at Jesus' teaching? Did he have a good clothes? Did he have a good tune-up? Did he shout, a lot during his message? Did he scream a lot in his message? What was it about Jesus' message that made it the people say, wow, I love what he said? Okay? Jesus gave them a sermon that probably lasted about maybe 10 minutes or so, not even that, how he explains, but it says that when he was finished with it, okay, because he taught a lot in Matthew chapter 7, but I'm referring to this parable here. But the Bible says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So the scribes were used to religion, route, and routine. They came to do their religious stuff, and then they left. Came and did their religious stuff, and then left. Isn't that how we are? We go and have our little religious stuff going on, and then we go back to living how we live. We go and have our shot of praise and our shot of worship and our shot of shouting and singing, and then we go back to being who we were before we went to praise God. God says enough of that in 2023. When you, listen, you still got 2022, listen, you are not guaranteed 12 a.m. on the 31st of December. You're not guaranteed that. God wants you to understand that it's you have to have a heart right now to receive what he is saying and plan to put what he says into practice. Listen, are you built on the stone? Are you built on something solid? Are you built on sand, something that shifts? Because I want to tell you, the storm is going to strike. But when it strikes, will you still be standing? Okay? When the storm strikes, will you still be standing? He says in verse, it says in verse number 29, for he taught them as one having authority. Understand, does the word of God have authority in your life? Does it have power in your life? Does it have power to change the way you do business? Does it have the power to change how you build? Okay? Sometimes you got to tear something down in order to build it back up again.
Well,
sometimes you got to start from scratch. Okay? Sometimes you have to start from scratch. Listen, brother, my sister, you may be a person right now that needs to start over again. You might need to start over again. You might have to buy you a new Bible and start over again. You might have to buy you a brand new notepad and start over. You might have to get you a new place to pray. You might have to change your church. You might have to change your resident, but understand changing just your location and not your life, you're just bringing the same life into a different situation. Listen, whatever your issue is with church or God or pastors or preachers, let all that go, because God is not going to ask you, did you do what the preacher said? He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, not everything, but a few things. I'll make you ruler over much. Or is he going to say, after you tell him how much church you done had, depart from me. I never knew you.
Lord, have mercy.
Okay? Which one is he going to say? I want him to say, well done. Brett Chapman, you ain't been faithful over everything, but you've been faithful over a few things. And I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Understand, when he says, well done, I have to do something for him to say, well done.
That's right.
He's not going to say, my good and faithful hearer. He's going to say, my good and faithful servant. And that's where we have to be able to grow. Brothers and sisters, you may be somebody right now who don't think it's possible for you to obey God because you've been doing what you want to do for so long. But I'm here to tell you that God needs to help you. His spirit needs to help you. I'm still fighting to be who God wants me to be every day. I'm still fighting to be the best version of who he purposed for me to be. I had to let go of my own vision so I could see. Then there are some of you who have to let go of your own vision for your life and start saying, God, what's your vision for my life? Okay? That's why you tune in tonight. I believe it's the will of God for you to tune in tonight, because this show is called Are You an Asset or a Liability? If you're not putting the word of God into practice, you're a liability to the kingdom.
That's right now.
Or you can be an asset to the kingdom by putting the word into practice. Some people who may be liabilities may not know that they're a liability because they unsaved friends look at them and say, they doing the same thing I do and go to church. But they should see a change in you. They should see a change in you that tells them, I want to be like them. I want to have I want to have their type of marriage. I want to look at their family and have that type of life. Now, this doesn't, say that bad things don't happen in marriages and things don't happen in no, but at least they should see, like, man, they praying through their divorce. They praying through that job loss. They praying. They mama just died. And they could barely eat, but you know what? They trying. They getting up out of bed and still praising God and not blaming God for what happened. But they're putting their faith and their trust in him. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is Fred Chapman. I'm tuning out right now. I'm going to turn this back over to our wonderful host, Brother James Brown. Thank you so much for having me, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a powerful word on tonight for everyone that's tuning on tonight. Even me, I have truly been blessed by this word. And I really like what you said. Because we all going to stand before God in the day of judgment and give an account for everything that we've done in our bodies, the good and the bad. That's what his word says. And he says, and I like what you said. What is God going to say to you? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The choice is yours. So we thank God for this word on tonight through Pastor Chapman. We thank God for you, Pastor Chapman. Right now, I'm getting ready to open up the phone lines for all those of you that have dialed in on tonight. As we already know, a lot of people do dial in. But when I open the phone lines, some people don't say anything. But we thank God for you that dials in, even though you may not respond or say anything on the line live. But we thank God for you. We don't take you lightly. We thank God for you dialing in and being blessed by God's word. So right now, the phone lines are open. We only have a few minutes left, but the phone lines are open for anyone that have dialed in. If you have received this word on tonight, and if you want to give Pastor Chapman words of encouragement, you can do so now. The lines are open. Anyone. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Anyone else? The phone lines are open.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. That word was so powerful that it even had me thinking twice. I said, Lord, have mercy. That word right there is a word that I can use and keep moving forward. Pastor Chapman, I want to encourage you. Allow God to continue to use you in the kingdom, you and your wife. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God is about to do for the both of you. Double for y'all trouble. Brother Brown,
God bless you.
God bless you as well.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Terry. That's a member, one of my the members of Peace and Goodwill, Pastor Chapman. That's Sister Terry Doss, one of the members of Peace and Goodwill. Thank you so much, Sister Terry Doss. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open.
James Brown.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jack. I mean,
hello. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I want to close the line before we close out without giving you an opportunity to say something if you want to. The lines are open.
Pastor Chapman. Brother Brown, that was a wonderful message tonight. Pastor Chapman, continue preaching the word. That was a mighty powerful message tonight. There is a difference between hearing and listening, and we are listening for the word of God. Thank you for that word.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Gwen Walker. Yes, what did you, yes, there is a difference between a hearer and a doer. Yes, the Word of God talks about that. A lot of people are hearing God's Word, but then a lot of them are not being doers of God's Word. We want to make sure that we hear God's Word and that we're also being a faithful doer of God's Word. Please remember that.
Yeah.
In the future, Pastor Chapman will be coming on once a month. I thank God for him agreeing to be on to deliver God's Word on this platform once a month. So next, on the second Thursday in this January 2023, Lord be willing, Pastor Fred Chapman will be back again on the second Sunday in January 2013. Please mark your calendar to be able to hear another word from Pastor Chapman. Remember, Pastor Norman King, the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries in Greensboro, North Carolina, will be delivering God's Word on this coming Saturday night. Pastor Norman King, my first cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina, will be delivering God's Word on this coming Saturday, December the 10th. So mark your calendar so you can be blessed by another word from him. Go ahead. I'm sorry, young lady. What were you saying? I'm sorry. Were you saying something? I didn't want to cut you off. Well, our time
brother,
is up. Right
Brother
now,
Brown? Brother
yes,
Brown?
Yes,
thank you so much. I just wanted to make sure that the people know that the 12th is a Thursday.
Yes, it is. I forgot to say that. Yes, that's the second Thursday in January, the second Thursday. Wait, now I'm looking at the wrong date. I'm sorry. Yeah, the second Thursday in January 2023 is a Thursday, the 12th of January 2023. Pastor Fred Chapman will be back on delivering another word from the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Chapman. We're going to close out on tonight. We're not going to do a closing song, but we're going to close out in prayer. But before we do, again, tonight's spiritual food for thought for those that dialed in late. Tonight's spiritual food for thought came to a saying on tonight. Many Christians grow up in church, but never grow in Christ. They know hymns, H-Y-M-N-S. They know hymns, but they don't know him, talking about Jesus. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name. We thank you for this Pastor Chapman. We thank you for this awesome word that has come through him. As you have led and guided him through your Holy Spirit, as he delivered your word on tonight with power, we pray that his word has been received by every listener, that they will become more faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. So we ask that you will continue to bless him, his wife, their family, the ministry you have placed them over, and every faithful doer of your word on tonight. Continue to bless us. Continue to use us for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you extend to each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. Heavenly Father, we bless your name because you're truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that you are a faithful a doer. You bless those that are faithful doers of your word. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a faithful promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people. So have your way in each one of our lives as individuals and as a corporate body of believers that you get the glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, remember and know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. Until this coming Saturday night, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.